Hello, basketball gamers. Welcome to episode number 137 of the MLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always. Joining me as always is Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey, everyone.
And Ben, we're not too far away from the holidays now. We're in December, yeah. The final stretch of 2015.
Yeah, big few weeks leading up to your birthday, week later Christmas, week later New Year's. So I got Christmas and all, like, last 3 weeks or 2 or 3 weeks of this year sorted.
Do you like having a birthday that close to Christmas, or did it kind of suck growing up where you don't really get the as many gifts because it's so close together?
That's not the problem. It's just usually all my friends tend to go away on holidays now with their families, and, you know, so I don't really get to, it's not so much like celebrating my birthday, but, you know, having, you know, like a night out for dinner or something with my friends, because they're all, they're all away and stuff, so...
Yeah, I've got a cousin whose birthday is at Christmas Eve, which she's always hated because everyone's kind of busy around that time.
Yeah.
Really busy, but yeah, I suppose that would be the tough thing about having the birthday around Christmas.
Yeah, well, it would have been worse if I was born, because I was a week preemie, so I would have been born on Christmas Day. So.
Christmas Day, yeah.
So, and, but yeah, I mean, I've had some good times. There's actually been times where it's actually paid off. Like the for my 12th birthday, I went on a cruise with my mom and dad. It was like a 9-10 day cruise or something. And because the ship left the day before my 12th birthday, I still got to go at Charles prices. So it was like half price.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So yeah, that was pretty kick ass. So yeah, that was a nice saving there. And then so I got to do things like scuba diving and that. So it has had its moments where it's paid off. But yeah, it's. But yeah, it's just most of the time now, these days, like, everyone's so busy in that. So
busy around the holidays, yeah.
But it's all right.
Yeah, I've always liked having the birthday in October and then Christmas a couple of months later, because if I didn't get something for my birthday, then I'd usually get it for Christmas.
Yeah.
as a kid growing up. But yeah, it's just actually the older I've gotten, people really seem to be starting to get busy in October as well, so it's a bit hard to organize things then as well. But and then, of course, as a kid, you got to wait. You have Christmas, and then you got to wait 10 months for your birthday. So you get to get more cool stuff. So oh well,
you kind of wanted that midpoint of the year.
Yeah, to be born in June, or you know, May, June, July. You got to have that fairly decent 6 month swing either way.
Yep.
But yes, we will keep recording, I guess, up until Christmas. Might take a couple of weeks off here and there. I think we did record on your birthday last year, because I got you to do the intro.
That's right.
That was last year, I think. So we'll have to see when we can schedule recording around there.
Well, it'll be on a Friday, our time.
Yeah, okay.
And actually, I'll be away that night, so yeah.
We'll have to go either have one in the can or not another streak coming to an end. Surely we've been doing
since it's on a Friday, I mean, we're recording on a Thursday right now, so I'll definitely be home.
Oh, okay.
I'll be able to record either that Wednesday or Thursday, so that'd be no problem.
Well, everyone can tune in for a special birthday episode, one way or the other, the MLSC podcast. I'm sure we'll find something to talk about. As for what we're going to talk about this week, Ben, a little bit quiet on the basketball gaming front as far as news goes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no surprise the games have been out a couple of months. We've had a couple of patches in the last couple of weeks, so the big stuff has already come. So not a great deal of new stuff to talk about, but I'm sure we'll find a couple of things, like looking at our list here, that we can regale our listeners with tales of this and that.
I think we've got a couple of things up our sleeves.
Well, we always say it's going to be a short show, and then we go at least 50 minutes, so pretty good at that. But, well, with that said, let's dive right into this week's discussion. And as I said, not a whole lot of gaming news at the moment. Haven't been playing the games as much, still doing a bit of the Fallout 4 addiction and that kind of thing. But have been playing a bit of both games lately, checking them out. Want to give some more impressions on the patches, really spend some time with the games and really get stuck into the games, and we'll talk about that a little bit in a little bit as well. I'm looking to send a bit more feedback through to EA on the latest patch. I do think that as I mentioned last week, the patch for NBA Live 16 has had a positive impact, but I'm still noticing some strange things with it that I hopefully can be fixed with a patch. I mentioned this in the forum earlier today, but when I was showing the game to my cousin, I went and stayed up at night at my cousin's place the other night again, one of those things you did a lot as a kid, hanging out in the school holidays, and you can't really do it in adult life anymore. Went up there and we were playing some games, and I was showing him the basketball games because he hasn't got a PS4 yet. And of course, it will be a PS4. No bias at all. One of the strangest things, because he's a Lakers fan, and so I was showing him Kobe in the game,
yep.
And in Live 16, and I was trying to do Kobe's fadeaway, and so I put him into back to the basket, fall back on the stick, and took a shot, and pivoted and did a lefty hook from about 19 feet out. So that's the kind of weird stuff that Live really needs to cut down on. I mean, we talk about animation quality and things like that, and player acceleration, and I mean there are certainly other issues that we can go into. We've got into them before. We'll discuss them more in detail again, probably when you've had some more, because you're away from your PS4 at the moment, so you can't really play the game. But things like that, I think Live really needs to adjust, because that's some of the most distracting things when you play. Things that, I mean, the animation doesn't look too bad, or at least it wouldn't look too bad if you were right there in the paint, in the low post, putting up a lefty hook. From 19, 20 feet out, when it should be a turnaround jump shot, kind of ugly.
with that scenario, you're talking about that long hook shot and stuff like that. Back in grade 8, an actual teammate of mine in high school, actually doing like a one-on-one drill against our coach and that, attempted a three-point layup.
Three-point layup, that's impressive.
Yeah, the coach got in to do two laps of the courts, and these are like two courts, like end-to-end. So
oh yeah,
got him to do that for punishment.
Learn not to to lay up from the
three-point line.
But it is little things like that where Live does need to get better. The contextually appropriate animations kind of reminds me a bit of the problems with, you remember NBA Elite 11,
yep.
At least the demo, of course, that we played, being able to perform the hook shots from three.
Yep.
So contextually appropriate animations definitely still an issue, and some other issues with play calling and such that. Discussing with some other people who were dedicated to the game and pushing, of course, you know, shout out as always to Izzy Snow, taking part in some discussions in our forum. Of course, all the great work he's doing with his YouTube channel and as part of the NBA Live stream team. You know, lots of great feedback there. Actually, the NLVC, the NBA Live Veteran Committee, has been put together on YouTube, and they're compiling lots of feedback on the patch as well. So, again, you know, there's certainly people who care about NBA Live and who are getting all this quality feedback together. So hopefully we can have an impact.
There is still, and do want it to come back so to its full potential. Yeah, let's hope it works out.
And all the
work that the other, or us and other community groups and stuff are doing does go into it. So,
well, I mean, they've said many times before that they're listening to us,
yeah.
And appreciate the feedback. So fingers crossed that it continues to grow. On the 2K16 front, everything is progressing quite nicely. I mean, no, there's no one that's, you don't get 100% approval rate, because some people aren't good at the game and blame the game, and there are also flaws that I'm sure the developers are aware of. But obviously, a much more solid product than Live at this time. And I guess I'll leave that discussion for a bit later, because it's a lengthy one. But yeah, I mean, I'm, as I said before, I really feel that 2K16 is going to end up being one of my favorite basketball games, because I was really happy with the adjustments that were made with the responsiveness this year. And I know I've said that before, but it's for me, that's what stands out the most.
True.
From a positive point of view, Be the Story stands out the most from a negative point of view, but I've ranted about that enough.
from what I've experienced with 2K16, yeah, there's definitely a lot of improvements, but there's still a couple of things I still think have either haven't moved forward in the game where it should have, and they're just, I don't want to say ignored, but you know, they're just sort of, they've been in the game for a while, these little things. So,
is like in the gameplay mechanics, or
yeah, gameplay mechanics and things like that, and responsiveness in certain ways, and any game, it can also pass stuff, you know, like the passing logic stuff that I've talked about before. So, there's a couple little things, but.
Both games have been off this year in that respect, the pass logic.
But I mean, just before coming before coming on this holiday part, I was playing more 2K16 and felt a little bit better with the bounce pass button and all that stuff. Like, there was a little bit more, I won't say more control with, but I felt more comfortable in trusting it. There was probably a couple of times when, yeah, I shouldn't have actually made that pass and that, or I'd accidentally push that button.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Like it was on your era
Yeah, yeah.
as the gamer rather than the
Yeah, but
getting messed over by the game, yeah.
so yeah, and it didn't always go to it most of the cases it did go to the player, and I was hoping to intend it to go to, and that, so that was good. But yeah, still, and I think
Well, what would be the apart from passing,
that was
what would be the
post-patch, so
biggest
yeah.
apart from the passing, what would be the biggest gameplay mechanic issue you have with 2K16? Or would it be the passing?
Passing was one of it, but there's still those moments for me where the game holds you back. Whether it and it's in relation to that video that I've showed you a few months back, where you could tell the CPU is like controlling the player, and when it's like they're not
Oh,
moving.
when you're trying to accelerate, when you're trying to explode out on the dribble.
Yeah, and you know
Yeah.
those
Yeah.
kind of moments, I think that really bugs
I
me.
agree. Yeah. That's probably the biggest thing, dribbling controls and that moment of not feeling in control, still kind of there. Still kind of there, so it's still getting better. And I think the challenge for both games, because Live up until 16 was very stiff in its controls, is that they're trying to get the foot planting and the animations to look good and the players to have heft and weight and physical presence on the court. But the downside is then feeling out of control. But we will continue to talk about the games. I know it's a bit hard for you at the moment, missing your PS4 down there in Melbourne.
Yeah, you know, there's not
And
much at there's not much on TV at this time of year, so
oh, there's some good Christmas specials coming up, so you can enjoy those. But you know what you won't be able to partake of, or at least for the moment, is 2K just announced they have a new partnership with Marvel Studios. And they've pushed through some Marvel content for NBA 2K16, so your player can wear Spider-Man shirts and Punisher shirts. That was pretty badass to see that in the game. So they're available. I haven't actually checked the prices at the VC for them, but I'm guessing they're not cheap because nothing is with a PC. But that's kind of cool to see that in the game. It's
And
it's useless, but cool, I
yeah,
guess.
they had some because Adidas had like the Marvel Heroes shoe pack where it had some of their basketball shoes and like Iron Man and Thor and Hulk in that colorways. They kind of were put into the game about a month ago, but when you selected it, your player in that turned invisible, so you couldn't really use it because you couldn't see your player at all. So
Bit of a downside,
yeah. So they kind of put them all, yeah, kind of put them out publicly a bit too early before the announcement and stuff. So, but it was about a day or so that they were removed and all that stuff. But yeah, it was interesting little thing that they included those. Well, yeah, that they did that a little bit earlier than they were supposed to. So yeah.
Bit too quick on the trigger there.
Yep.
But that the Marvel content is available for anyone who wants it, as well as the they had the Thanksgiving content, of course, and ugly sweaters, which are even called ugly sweaters.
Yep.
If you want to get the ugly Christmas sweaters for your player, I really think they should give you VC to wear those. But nevertheless, if you want to outfit your player with that, that'll you have the option. But as I said, you're away from the PS4, and I've been playing other games apart from the basketball games, at least in the last couple of weeks since the release of Fallout and a couple other things getting in the way of gaming time. This adult life, man, I tell you.
Yeah.
But the games have been out for a couple of months now. Most people have been settling in. They're either enjoying them post patch or they've given up on them, at least for this year. A lot of people say they're never buying a game again, and then they do. So we make lots of declarations online that we don't really stick to. But people have either gone back to an old game, or they've really enjoyed the new games from the start, or they're starting to enjoy them with the patches that have come through. And I really want to get stuck into the games once I'm past playing Fallout and a couple of the other games in the rotation at the moment. So I thought we'd talk about what we want to do with this year's basketball games, because there's another, well, let's see, it's December now, so another 9 or 10 months of gaming time until the next game comes out, assuming that neither of us go back a game, neither of us stick with this game when Live 17 and 2K17 come out. So what is it that you'd like to do with this year's basketball games? What would you like to really get stuck into and be playing for the next 9 or 10 months?
I suppose for me it'd be some of the modes that have more creation stuff, like the jersey and court stuff. Play around with that a bit because it's not really one of the modes that I had done. So
And you've been leveling up your players, so that'd be great for Pro-Am for you.
yeah. So yeah, that'd be that. sort of thing. Look into actually playing like the MyGM and MyLeague sort of stuff, because I promised to last year, but I never did, because I was still just playing my career mode and all that stuff. So yeah, I gotta.
You're breaking left versus hard here.
I know, I know.
I will in a moment, don't worry.
So yeah, there's a and on his birthday we're doing it too.
Oh, that's right.
Happy
Happy
birthday,
birthday, Leftos.
Leftos. And so yeah,
Not Leftos.
it's those modes that I really gotta participate or play more of in that. So yeah, that'll be my plans. I mean, with the my career, because I've probably gone to a certain point and nearly got my player to a certain level already, and that, you know, there's not much sort of change or and all that from the previous one. So you know, it's not a mode that I'll probably go like 3 seasons or so deep in. So it would give me a chance to maybe 4 seasons in that, just to sort of, you know, yeah, play the different modes. So yeah, it'd be a good way of, not say getting bored with that part, but you know, needing something a little bit of different flavor. It's like can't eat vanilla ice cream all the time, so.
Exactly. I mean, the modes are in the games to enjoy. Now, I mean,
Might as well utilize paying the $114 that I did for the game this year.
exactly. You don't want to go to waste, especially with a special edition. Yeah, I like you. I mean, it's been a while since I really got stuck into a franchise mode. I mean, the last one that I really got stuck into was 10 years ago, my NBA Live 06 Dynasty, which is still one of my favorite basketball gaming experiences, and I picked it up a couple of times since, and that's always been fun to go back to. As great as NBA Live 06 PC is, it is getting a bit harder to go back to that game now, because it's certainly getting dated with all the stuff that 2K is doing, and even stuff that's in Live 16. There's stuff in there that's obviously more advanced than Live 06. And I really got into my career in NBA 2K13, and that was another one of my all-time favorite games that I've played, both 2K13 as a basketball game and the My Career as a game mode within a basketball game. But I really want to get stuck into a franchise, either my GM, probably my league more than my GM. I like the sandbox style, as I've said before. I'd love to say that I get stuck into a dynasty for NBA Live 16, but they just haven't added anything to it in the last 3 years. So, well, actually, they did bring back simulation intervention. That has to be acknowledged, of course. That's a big feature, but all the little intricate features that used to be in Dynasty mode, they haven't been brought back yet. They're in 2K's modes and then some, so it'll be 2K would be my game of choice for franchise modes. For live, I think it'll be Ultimate Team. I prefer Ultimate Team to my team, except for the fact that Michael Jordan is in my 2K, so he's in my team and not Ultimate Team, sadly. But that'll probably be my live. Spending time with Ultimate Team in live and in 2K, I'd really like to get stuck into the franchise mode and get that deep franchise experience, where I play a couple of seasons or play and sim through a few seasons and really get that deep experience over the next 9 or 10 months. I just need to decide which team, though. Do I take the Bulls and hope and play with that injury slider so that Rose is there all season long, or because and see, I can do that in my league. You know, I can change the injury frequency slider and the severity slider. So, you know, I can fantasize about a Bulls team that's healthy.
Play basketball god.
Yeah. But if you do a My GM or My League, which team do you think you'd take? Would you take the Heat?
Probably. I mean, with my career now, I've been in Charlotte, and so yeah, it'd be a good way to sort of play with a different team in that. So yeah, that's probably
Wouldn't take the Warriors trying to go 20-0 to start the season?
one.
That's not Sim. Well,
It
as it turns out.
is. I don't know. It'd be, I mean, it's the Warriors are more a team I like to play like when playing against friends.
Yeah,
Yeah,
because you're just run and gun.
that quick few minute game that you play with your mates and that. And yeah, so that's probably how I like using that team. So that's probably what I save them for. Yeah, but I mean, probably for the sort of Dynasty Association kind of thing. So yeah, I'd probably stick with the Heat, you know, so they utilize them and try and make them championship contenders and stuff again. So, yeah.
It's good when you get that team that you feel that connection to one way or the other.
Yeah.
In the franchise mode, and you just build it the right way, and you don't stuff it up by making too many stupid trades or even too many good trades. Sometimes you end up being too stacked, and you feel, well, this isn't fun anymore because
Winning by 40 or
I'm just all I'm doing game to game is managing minutes.
Yep.
You know, trying to get everyone's numbers somehow. Which I remember having more fun with that as a kid and a teenager.
Yep.
But as the older I've got, I kind of want a bit more of that realism and not, you know, being able to have my deep bench did not play coach's decision if they're if I can't find room for them, if I can't find time for them.
It'd be fun if you know you got to do it and you know do like the did not play too old. So
if you could
to put in the option of why they didn't play.
As a wish list item, yeah. Be able to specify that, you know. The most important thing, you know.
Yeah.
Game doesn't have it, pre-order cancel. Yeah.
The temp team now asks that shoelace physics is not a priority right now. DMP reasons.
Did not play, did not tie shoelace, cannot tie shoelaces. Yeah. No shoelace physics. So yeah, I'm looking forward to having some fun with the games over the next 9 or 10 months, get right back into them. I kind of go through spurts, like I really get excited when the game comes out, play it a bit when the season starts, sometimes take a bit of a break and then really come back in the new year, and especially leading up to the All-Star break, as the different parts of the season kind of encourage me to play, I find.
Yeah, well, usually for me, I tend to start out strong during the season or when the game comes out, and then usually around sort of, depending how solid and that the game's been, it's usually sort of between All-Star weekend or playoffs, just the start of the playoffs is when I start to play other games and all that stuff, so yeah.
But we will keep everyone informed about what we're doing with the different games, with both games, I suppose, what mode we're playing. Also want to organize some more live Pro-Am games. We can organize some meetups with other members of the NBA Live community, so we'll see what we can do there. And me playing online, how about that? But we will continue to discuss that and give further impressions of the games, of course, throughout the year. And, of course, that will transition into more thoughts on the next game and what we want to see, and eventually the previews of next year's games. This is a bit of a lull, of course, between official patches, between the title updates, and significant news for the game. So we'll pretty much be talking about what we're doing with the games as opposed to major announcements about them. But I assume that's why most people are here, to discuss and talk to their other basketball gamers about what they're doing with games. So hopefully you enjoy what we have to say in the coming weeks. But that's pretty much it for this week as far as the basketball game discussion goes. I just want to recap a couple of features that I posted on the site recently. Of course, last week with the Friday Five, I did the first part of a two-part series in the Friday Five, my top five best trades and signings I've made in basketball games. There we go, talking once again about what we've done in basketball games. This week will be the top five worst trades and signings, and it's kind of certainly overlap as far as the last week's article. You'll find the other side of some of those deals that I alluded to in last week's feature. Also talked about my greatest basketball gaming weakness, Ben, which is three-point shooting.
Yeah, well, it's a fine art. We can't all be virtual Steph Currys.
We can't all be Steph Curry. Even if we're controlling Stephen Curry, we can't necessarily be virtual Stephen Curry.
Yeah, actually, it'd be interesting to see how well Steph Curry would shoot playing with virtual Steph Curry.
Well, he is a gamer, as I understand it. Certainly was enthusiastic to be on the cover of 2K16, so that would be interesting. I think I've told the story before when I was at the NBA Live 08 community event in New York in 2007. We were at the launch. It wasn't a launch event. It was a draft party, and the game was on display. And Gilbert Arenas was the cover athlete that year, and he was just playing the game with the Wizards, and basically just shooting with himself every time up the court. He ended up with, I think, 40 points on 50 shots or something, or 60 points on 40 shots or something. There was a lot of get the ball to Gilbert when he was playing that game. And the other feature that I posted this week, of course, is Way Back Wednesday, a feature I'm definitely enjoying going back, indulging in some nostalgia. I want to do some more video retrospectives. Really enjoyed that look back at NBA Jam Tournament Edition on PC. I almost said on Fire Edition. too many special editions of NBA Jam, Ben. But this week's Way Back Wednesday, I actually had a look at something a little bit different. Microsoft Complete NBA Basketball, a reference CD-ROM encyclopedia almanac that I have. I actually bought it a couple of years after it came out in a bargain bin, and something a little bit different to look back on. Not a lot of gameplay, which is why I didn't do a video. not really exciting showing you going through the menus, I don't think. But they did it a couple of releases, a few years they did those complete NBA basketball, part of the Microsoft Home line. And I had a look online on eBay just to see if I could find any other editions. And I showed you, I sent you the link before we started recording, Ben. Someone's selling the 1996 edition on eBay. They're in the US, and they want about $15, about $20 for it. And it's brand new and sealed and everything, so that's for a rare out of print disc, it's collectible, I guess. But they want for international postage, $66.95 postage, about $90 Australian postage.
Which is, you think the prices would be reversed
Yeah,
at most.
you'd think $20 postage, and yeah, absolutely. But so, needless to say, I'm not picking that up. if it was on there a little bit cheaper, I thought, oh, I might add it to my collections. Oh, that's really cheap. As I said in the article, not a lot of call for that kind of thing these days because we've got Basketball Reference, NBA.com, even Wikipedia, so many online resources for basketball statistics and information and biographies and everything else that the CD ROM did really well back in the day. And of course, you've got YouTube for the media, so the little low resolution videos that were on that CD-ROM. These days we can stream games over the internet, stream games in HD, and check out clips on YouTube and NBA.com and all the other sites. So there's not much call for it. But I was thinking, and I found this at the end of the article as well, if they were still putting out something like that, depending on the price, whether you could buy it and then get for perhaps a yearly fee or as part of your League Pass subscription, for example, it's pushed through updates. I'd probably at least consider it if it came with some like cool bonus games and things like that. If there was actually some extra content, I'd at least consider it, I think, but not for $90
No.
postage.
No.
Yeah,
You can the person can keep that for a while. Yeah. Ain't no.
I'll. It's like some of the Michael Jordan statues, the action figures collectibles, or the Jeff Hornacek. Indeed, the Jeff Hornacek one, $40. Might take a pass on those. Much as I like my collectibles, I can probably find more important things to spend money on at this time. And certainly not an out of date reference CD-ROM,
That's true.
as rare as it may be. But as always, encourage you to check out those articles and hit me up with some comments, your thoughts on the stories and the articles that I'm putting out there, and just as we invite your feedback right here on the NLSC podcast. But that's pretty much it for the basketball gaming news and the housekeeping matters for the NLSC. So we come to the NBA portion of this week's show, and big news, Ben, in the NBA, the Warriors continue to win.
Yep.
It's kind of the same thing we've been talking about since October, really.
20-0 now, so.
When continuing the best start in league history, and they've actually tied the best start for any of the four major professional sports. So it looks like they might actually have the best start, not just in the NBA soon, but also of any of the four major professional sports in North America.
Which is a huge achievement.
And with their winning ways, that's actually garnered Luke Walton Coach of the Month honors. The league determined that he could actually get the Coach of the Month award, despite the fact he is filling in for Steve Kerr. But the funny thing is, with this distinction, he becomes the first Coach of the Month to not win a single game. That is to say that Luke Walton's record is technically 0-0, because the 20-0 start goes on Steve Kerr's all-time record. So we now have a Coach of the Month who has never won a game, technically speaking.
Just like, yeah, just the sort of step back from that and go, what? Kind of thing. If you're only half paying attention to that, you're like, it just sort of throw you off.
It would. When I saw it, I thought, what has Brett Brown got coached? Because Benji in the forum posted it, and the title of his thread said, winless coach gets Coach of the Month. And I thought, wait a second, surely Brett Brown hasn't got a coach of the Month award. But yeah, was it David Blatt was the Coach of the Month in the East. But yeah, it's I didn't think about it, but then I tweaked, of course, when I read the article that he linked to. Oh, of course, Luke Walton hasn't won a game because all the wins are going to Steve Kerr, which makes sense, but it's still kind of weird, especially now that they've confirmed that he can win Coach of the Month. It's between that and the Hawks starting five getting Player of the Month honors last year. There's some really weird stuff going on in the NBA right now.
Right.
But hats off to Luke Walton, nevertheless. On the Warriors, when are they going to lose?
That's a tough one.
The playoffs, maybe the second round of the playoffs. They'll drop a game.
That'd be. It's right now. It's if you get within three, you've won. That'll be the new rule.
It is, yeah. Well, there are teams getting closer, so I think it's going to happen. And Harrison Barnes is going to miss some games with injury, so it's we'll see. We'll see. I do think once they start playing some of the teams that are actually winning and are comfortably above 500 as they are, I think that we might start seeing the Spurs or the Thunder taking them down. And the Cavaliers in a rematch, so we'll a healthy Cavaliers team. So we'll see what happens there. Now, of course, Luke Walton, Coach of the Month, and this is a very ham-fisted segue, as I'm one to do here on the NLC podcast. Luke Walton, of course, played with Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, who I know we've talked about a lot for someone who's struggling, but of course he is a big name in the history of the sport. And he has actually officially, we speculated on it last week, but he's actually officially announced that he will be retiring at the end of the season.
So, yeah, he's admitted his body can't take it much longer.
And he retired in a rather unique and interesting way, actually retiring with a poem that he published, the Dear Basketball poem.
Yeah, I didn't read not all of it. Like, I only saw a couple of lines from it. Did you get a chance to read it?
I did, and it was, it's not exactly Shakespeare. Don't get me wrong, but it was a cool way to announce it. You know, obviously the game means a lot to him, and you can appreciate, love him or hate him, you can appreciate how much he loves the game and how much it's meant to him and how passionate he's been and how competitive and everything. So that was cool. It was cool. Of course, he had a decent game against the...
Wizards.
Was
it the Wizards today?
The Wizards, yeah, sorry. Against the Wizards today, scored 31 points, and of course that led to... Let the comments. Was it too late for him to cancel his retirement? You really don't want him to do that. I'm sorry if you're a true Lakers fan, you really don't want him to go back on that because
considering how he shot the day before.
Yeah, the 4 of 17 from downtown. Yeah. You know, even in the 31 points, 10 of 24, and four of 12 threes, something like that. So I mean, he's still not doing it very efficiently, and he hasn't. You know, one great game is not indicative that he's got a whole lot left in the tank. I mean, if he felt he had a whole lot left in the tank, he'd not only be, he'd say so, because that's what he said, that, you know, this season's all I have left to give. That was basically his words in his poem. But, you know, well, we've piled him enough, I suppose, and gone on, but I think it's a good decision, and there's no shame walking away after 20 seasons with all his body of work and with this season. I mean, he's shooting about 30% now. It's dropped right down to about 30% on the season. From the field, so you know, it's surprising that for him to come out and say it how he did, I suppose, you know, and yeah. You know that I don't have anything left to give, but I admire his honesty, saying, you know, he could come because he'd been saying things like, oh, you're scoring 30 points and 80 points and
still wouldn't know, yeah,
and you're like, oh, you're struggling to score 20, so I'm not sure. as it stands, it was 24 shots to get 31 points, so you know. But so I guess now it is officially a farewell tour.
And, the respect he got when he was playing against Philly, this is the team, obviously, at the end of the game and that, so it's kind of segueing probably for the next topic. So, all the players, you know, they huddled around and, you know, they showed their respects to him, and the crowd after the game were chanting Kobe's name and that. So, you know,
There'll definitely be some more tributes,
yeah.
And it will be interesting to see people. I mean, I'm not the biggest Kobe fan, but I certainly appreciate and respect his contributions to the game and rank him very highly on the all-time greats list and whatnot. But it does get to the point where when these players do step away, you kind of realize how special they were, and it, you know, comes down to you see those tributes from around the league.
Yeah.
Just looking at the stats, so I mean, he's 31% from the field, so still kind of tough. And you know, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of vintage Kobe nights because you know, so far this season, it's only going to get more. Fatigue is only going to get set in as the course of the season.
Yeah, well, that's like Scott OG was at one of the Lakers games from what I saw, and tried taking video of him hitting a shot, but ends up getting a video of him. Airballing the shot.
There's been a lot of airballs this year, yeah. And a lot of threes. I mean, that's the thing. 17 threes the other day, 4 of 17. 117 threes on the season and made 26, so 22% now. Can't really attack the basket as he once did. You know, played over 50,000 minutes in the league, 20 years. I think we can cut him some slack. And
yeah,
but I did have to laugh when I saw those comments. You know, is it too late for him to retire, or he's still got it? He's still the best in the league. Like, it was a vintage performance. Let's not go nuts. You know,
yeah.
31 points against the struggling Wizards. Anyway, it is his time. Obviously, is coming. People enjoy watching him on the farewell tour. And I suppose the inevitable question is, which number do you think they retire? 8, 24, or both?
He won one or two championships with 24, didn't he?
Two championships with 24, three with 8. And, of course, had the 81-point game as number 8. I think they're going to retire both.
I think they will. But if they, only do one, I'd say it'd be 8. But, yeah, I would be surprised if they did two. Kind of makes sense in a way.
And, of course, people say, oh, he's the only player to get two numbers retired by the same club. And, well, that's a very unique situation. Most great players play with the one number throughout their career.
Yeah.
Will Chamberlain's got his number retired by three different teams.
And it's generally only if, you know, you get, I suppose, yeah, with one team. Although, I suppose in scenarios where a player's left the team, gone to another, a couple of years later comes back, but has to wear a different number because another player has that number. But, you know, the chances are they often aren't players that do get their numbers retired anyway, so, yeah.
Well, that's right. Remember, Antoine Walker came back to the Celtics and actually had to wear number 88 for a couple of games because number 8 was taken.
That's probably how many threes he would have liked to take in any game anyway.
But then he went back to number 8, worked out the... I forget who had number 8, but he ended up giving him some money or something. They came to some agreement.
Some compensation. And,
but that, I mean, that would be, that'd be cool.
Why, part of the reason why Antoine Walker is broke.
Well, he's certainly fallen on some hard times, yeah, so, which is unfortunate. But Antoine Walker, class of 96, same as Kobe. But yeah, I mean, it is obviously very... Kobe's a unique player, not just in what he's done in the NBA with all the accomplishments. But yeah, wearing the 8 and the 24 through pretty much half his career, I guess. Because Half his career, number 8, half his career, number 24. Because he did change after the 2006 season, if I recall correctly. So yeah, I could see him... He's going to retire as the first player to play 20 seasons for the... for a single team. So, no, I think it'd be appropriate. It would look weird to give anyone else 8 or 24. So,
yeah,
retire them both. But I'm sure we'll allude to Kobe's shooting percentages as the season progresses. if the Wizards game is an indication, fans will at least get a few vintage performances, which, you know, it was tough seeing Jordan not his best, look mortal in those years with the Wizards.
Yep.
Tough enough to see him in a Wizards jersey. Let alone anything else. So I do feel your pain, Kobe fans and Lakers fans. Lakers now are 3-15 on the season, which is they're shooting for Ben Simmons, I'd say, who's had a fantastic game. It's the first LSU player to score 40 plus since Shaq in 91.
Yeah, and Shaq did actually on December 18th. Is that the one we had 51 or something like that? So yeah. But yeah, it's one of those sort of games, isn't that?
Bringing it back, yeah. Yep. But the other team that is a shooting for Simmons, I would imagine, of course, the Philadelphia 76ers, they tied the record for the worst start at 0-18, and then they also beat their own record that they had with the Cavs for longest consecutive games lost, beginning last season, coming into this one. 27 games lost in a row, dating back to last year. But they didn't get a new record for the worst start in league history, as they spoiled Kobe's final game in Philadelphia with their first win of the season. So if you were wondering who would what would happen first, the Warriors losing or the Sixers winning, that question has now been answered.
Yep.
The Sixers won. They are now 1-19.
Yeah.
So they're still ahead in the Simmons sweepstakes.
Yep. Man, it's just crazy seeing how some of these teams that are down the lower end, just looking at the... But no, it's good to see Philly get their first win. So it's looks like it's been tough on some of the players, like with some of the, we'll say, game fans who have, I suppose, taunted Okafor and that in public outings and stuff.
Yeah, there was the incident where he punched a man who said the 76ers suck.
There's actually two. There's been two incidents.
Two incidents, and there was also a reckless driving charge, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
So they've actually suspended him for a couple of games, Okafor. The 76ers have decided to suspend him, said they're disappointed in his actions. Not surprising there. Not really what you want your young players to be doing.
Yep.
And the suggestion is that while they're doing these, while they're avoiding the mistake of overpaying for washed-up players and going with the youth movement and everything and trying to rebuild a hard way, but ultimately in a way that sets them up for the future, you know, they don't have those that veteran presence on the team to really guide some of the young guys.
Trying to keep them level-headed and spirits up and stuff. So, yeah, which is kind of a mistake. I think your team should at least have one or two vets.
At least bring someone in on a decent low contract for a year or two. Get someone who will take that pay cut,
yeah,
and be able to mentor some of the young guys. Yeah, because obviously they do need some more guidance beyond what the coaching staff can do.
Exactly.
And of course, Brett Brown, the former Boomers coach, coaching the 76ers, you know, he's had to suffer through some, as much as the players, I suppose, trying to win these games when with a depleted roster out on the court. And you brought up the topic this week, you know, would Byron Scott get the axe in Los Angeles? And I've tagged on the end of that, who gets the axe out of those two, Brett Brown or Byron Scott? And found on Real GM an article about that apparently his job is safe, Byron Scott.
This is kind of surprising. I mean, a lot of fans are calling for his head and all that stuff, like from outcries from, you know, the start that they've had so far. So, yeah, I think I know Brett Brown's job is safe because he's got a clause in his contract.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, yeah. He basically can't get fired in his contract. They can't. He somehow managed to negotiate that for like the 4 or 5 years that he's got with Philly.
Actually, that's right. I didn't remember that because I remember discussing it when he was signed, yeah. And yeah, we speculated whether he'd be able to stick around that 4 years because they were obviously in that rebuilding,
yeah,
mode. But I'm just reading this article on Real GM. Apparently, he's being viewed as an innocent bystander in the farewell tour of Kobe Bryant, according to the Los Angeles Lakers. So they're unlikely to either fire Scott or bench Bryant despite their struggles. And he's actually got a guaranteed contract through the 2017 season, so at least one more year out of Scott. But yeah, a lot of people not really happy with Scott within the Lakers fan base. I've noticed those comments popping up around the internet.
So yeah, I know. I was speculating would he still be around by All-Star Weekend and all that stuff, or even made jokes with a couple of friends saying, you know, would he have a job by next week?
Sounds like he will. They're just willing to write this year off as the farewell tour and take it from there.
Start afresh next year. So, yeah, it's not next season, I should say. Probably be more accurate since the season flows into next season or next year.
Do you think Alvin Gentry might get the can in New Orleans? They're 4-15 now.
If their record doesn't improve by All-Star Weekend, I'll say yeah. Right, if they haven't, let's see, the standing I had. Let's say they haven't won about 12 games by All-Star Weekend, I'd say they will.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a shame.
I could see it happening.
Because he's a good coach. Like yeah.
Oh, very well regarded, yeah.
His mannerisms and stuff that I've talked about before, and, you know, very respectful man and that. So it'd be a shame. It's just probably the team or the system or something that, you know, it's just not working out, so, you know, that can happen. And if he doesn't move on, it'd be interesting to see where he goes to afterwards.
I imagine he'll latch on as an assistant coach somewhere.
Yeah
with his long history in the league. Just seeing if there's anything else. The East still has just looking at the standings, the East still has 10 teams that are above 500,
which is really good.
And 9 of those 10 are at least 2 games above 500, and the other one that's not, the Pistons, are 10-9, so they're at least 1 game above.
True.
And only 7 still in the West. In fact, you've got the Timberwolves in the 8th spot at the moment at 8-10. So the Rockets still struggling. They're at 8-11.
I really hope
so. So a lot of we thought the Pelicans would be better. We thought the Rockets would be better. So it's a bit topsy turvy in the West at the moment.
Yeah, actually, I'm kind of glad we're. I wish they'd hoped it'd drop down a little bit further, but, you know, that's just me being, well, me.
not being a fan of Houston.
Yep.
So We will be recording future shows, as we said, up until Christmas. I thought, because since we do so well with predictions, predictions for next week, what do you think will happen in the league by next week, and by the next time we record the podcast, I should say. And I'm going to predict that the Warriors lose. I'm going to go out on a limb.
Let's see who they play.
And I'm going to split this. I'm going to say it's either going to be Toronto or Indiana.
Yeah, there's going to be some teams coming up. So let's see.
Now watch the Brooklyn Nets knock them off
Yeah.
in between those two games. But I'll say that either the Raptors or the Pacers end the streak.
All right.
Actually, it'd be funny if the Nets do, because then it'll be 21-1, just like the Undertaker. So, can you imagine the memes if they go 21-1?
Yeah, there'll be a lot of the wrestling slash basketball fans that will pick up on that, so I can see it happening.
Be the shocked guy meme in the front row.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll see if we can make this a weekly feature. Bold prediction for the next week. So my prediction is the Warriors' winning streak will finally come to an end. So what do you got for me?
Just checking, seeing if Philly might get their second win.
Philly gets the second win.
Yeah.
Let's see, who do you think that will be? I'll just bring up their schedule.
They either New York or Brooklyn.
They just played New York.
Oh wait, sorry, yeah, okay. All
Go,
right,
go. Here's a
Denver,
bold prediction. Go to Spurs.
either All right, so either Denver or Brooklyn.
Denver, Brooklyn. Okay,
And
I think Denver's a good.
of course they probably lose to the Pistons, which will hear seriously from websites from half a world away.
Yeah, I'm just seeing they're playing the Bulls on December 14th, so kind of hoping the Bulls win that one.
Well,
Just see them slacking off.
that one's just over a week away, so in 4 months.
Maybe that'll be my bold prediction for the week after. But
Yep.
so we'll see. We'll see if we can do some bold predictions weekly on the podcast and see how we did. So bold predictions this week: the Warriors are losing their first game, the 76ers winning their second game. So we'll see how we go next week. But one final note about the Warriors to end on. Of course, they've been going through 20-0. They are just destroying the league at the moment. And this is also from Real GM's article on the Wiretap. If you had bet $100, you could turn. Sorry, start again. The Warriors' money line bets would turn $100 into $4,500 during the 20-0 start, Ben. So if you had bet $100 on the Warriors' money line on opening night against the Pelicans and rolled the principal and the winnings over for every game since then, you would have nearly $4,500.
It's a nice little pick up there.
So when they say that Stephen Curry is money,
He quite literally is.
then just looking, what you can actually do with that $100. Not a betting man, but when you see something like that,
Yeah, pretty good
maybe I
odds.
do, except I just predicted them to lose. So maybe not. Maybe not yet. Maybe not yet. But that brings us to the end of another episode of the NLSC podcast. Hope everyone enjoyed it. If you did, why not subscribe to us on iTunes? Or, of course, check us out on Stitcher. If you've got the Stitcher app for iOS or Android, we're on there. You can listen to us on the go. You can connect with us on social media. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/theNLSC. We're also on Twitter at theNLSC. And we're doing lots of stuff on the NLSC itself, NBA-live.com. So keep it locked for more fun basketball and basketball gaming content. But that is it for this week. So until next week, I am Andrew.
I'm Mark Kane.
And bold predictions, we'll see how we go.
Yep.
See you next week, everyone.
See you next week.